Sing it, sing it, sing it, choir. Listen. I'll trust you. You'll answer me. It's all right. That's right.
I'll trust you.
Yeah.
I'll trust you.
That's right. Sing it.
I'll trust
you, God. Yes, yes.
I'll trust
yes, I will. Sing that song.
I'll trust you.
I love it. I love it. The Richard Smallwood singer. That's all right. Yeah. That's right. Sing it.
Angel.
All around me. Woo. Do you believe that? Uh-huh. Yeah. The Richard Smallwood singers singing, hoo-hoo, yes, I'll trust you. Hey, this is PJ, Pastor John, here in the Lucy Coleman studio. On this, the 20th day of December, 2020, it's a Sunday morning and a gorgeous day in Los Angeles. The sun is out. The weather is just perfect. It's 10:26. I've been up for about a couple of hours, made a pot of coffee and drunk it all up and had one little bread roll with butter on it. And when I opened up the blinds and saw the wonderful sunshine coming in and everything, I just began to praise God and I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop. I got carried away with the mercy of the living God. And I thought that I'd share a little bit of that with you this Sunday morning. You know, I try to tell all my friends that I may not be behind a pulpit of a large or small or a medium-sized church, but the love of God that was shed abroad in my heart way back in 1967, August, as a matter of fact, It was before August. August 1967 is when I got married. It was around June Let me get it right. Come on, John. Come on back. You got out of the Army in March 67, April. Between March and April of 1967 is when God appeared to me and started speaking to my heart. Well, he's spoken to my heart here recently, and I'm not going to tell you what the project is, but I'm going to do what God has told me to do because I love him and he's so good. I trust in him. I was wondering because a couple of weeks ago, I've been telling you guys that I was feeling very, very poorly and I didn't know what it was. And everybody's asking me, oh, get tested for COVID. You probably have COVID. No. If I get COVID, I'm going to know when I have COVID, just like I'm going to know if I had the flu and everything else. Matter of fact, I had a beautiful, healthy dinner last night, greens out of the garden and potatoes and no meats and the juices and the spices. I had someone else prepare the dish for me, and a young man cooked up a pretty nice little dish, and it was just a great dinner. And after dinner, I said, sit down with me. I want to share something with you guys before I go any further, because I was really outraged. And I'm going to be the first one to talk about it. But before I, no, let me go to it now. Let me go to it now, because if I don't go to it now, I'm gonna forget it. And it's very important. I was looking at a movie that they premiered on Netflix this week. A movie that is very well known now because, well, let me go into it. The name of the movie is Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. And it is a story of a black woman, I guess back in the 30s or 40s, right after the war, sometimes like that, who is a blues singer. And she goes to Chicago to make an album. The storyline is brilliant. Some of the acting done by all of the black actors is off the chain. And what was really interesting about the film is that, and I wanna bring up who it's starring. Let's see. Because I don't. Wait a minute. I'm starting the movie up because I want you to. Well, anyway, there's a scene in this movie when the starring male black actor, the one that played the Black Panther. Okay, I think I'm ready to continue this. The movie is about a blues legend and her ambitious trumpeter in the band, who is played by Chadwick Boseman. Viola Davis stars in the movie, and Glenn Turner's in it, and more black actors. The screenplay, if Ma Rainey was really like that, God rest her soul. She was a strong black woman, very strong black woman. I have nothing against a storyline, but I do not know to save my life why Chadwick Boseman played that role. It's just one section in the movie that he plays where he literally uses the F word repeatedly, and I know it's a part of the script, to curse and blaspheme God Almighty in heaven. This is the man that played the king of some African country and some hero. I wouldn't advise you to let your kids see. And you can tell that Chadwick was in the mode of dying when he made the film. This, I understand, is his last professional film that he made. It's on Netflix. And it's called Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. And I watched the movie with another grown young man in my home last night. And we stopped the movie after the part of it. I went back and finished it, but I said, man, what's wrong with Chadwick? What happened? Now, Chadwick is dead now. He's gone on. He's no longer on this earth. But I'm telling you, and I'm going to say it, I think that we as black people, you know what, and wait a minute, they got another movie here, and I haven't seen that yet. Chadwick Boseman stars in this movie, and it's on Netflix too, and it's called Da Five Bloods, D-A Five Bloods, and it's 2 hours and 35 minutes about a fallen leader of fortune in goal and haunted by the ghost of war. Chadwick is in this. So he's starring in a lot of movies. I don't know the, and his family and whomever is getting the royalties from these movies. But why? would you accept in a scene in that movie about the Black Bottom? Why would you curse God like that? Even if it is, you know, a lot of people say, John, it's only acting. It's only, no. Hear me. There has been actors and actresses in the past, and all you have to do is check their lives. I'm not going to mention anybody's names. You do it. These people, no, I'm going to mention one. There was this one black girl, and she was, I forget her name, but she died in a plane crash and had her preacher on the trip with her for good luck, and he died in it. And everybody that was traveling with her and her entourage was dead. And she had just made a movie about her being a demon. And I look, let me say this right now. I live in the Hollywood section. I live in the liberal part of this corrupt nation of the United States of America. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm grateful for a country where I can get up and think about God and worship and praise him in spirit and in truth. But there are certain things that you do not do. There's certain blasphemies that you stay away from. Now, I know that we live in a world where people try to say, oh, John, darn it, there is no God. There is no God. There is no Holy Spirit. There's no nothing. I'm going to say something. Chadwick Boseman is dead. He's going to have to give an account to God for that scene. I don't care how much you think he's the Black Panther. I'm going to tell you, you don't do things like that. The Bible tells me in Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Chadwick talked about in his lines how he curses God, because in the movie, and it's a wonderful movie, I want you to see it, because it speaks volumes about what happened in the world that we live in. And because things happen, it does not give you the right to curse God like that. Now, let me give you a good example. My wife died on me suddenly on a Sunday morning. I was in this very studio. It was in this very studio that she had commenced to passing away. I didn't curse this studio. I didn't turn this studio into oblivion. I didn't curse God because my precious dear wife died on me here in this very room that I'm in. I would never do that. And I would never come on a live mic and say something like that. There is a problem with African Americans that turn their back on God. We are the faithful remnant that God was speaking about redeeming in the holy book. I know this. There's no other people that's been persecuted like us. We're still being persecuted all over the world. Most of the European and Mediterranean countries don't even want us, don't even want the third world people. We have an opportunity to make it, but I'm gonna let you know what has happened. There was another headline that I was reading under People magazine this morning, and the headline says, beloved Virginia nurse is found slain in home with husband, and her son is a suspect. When I read the article, I could not be, I don't know what they were arguing with this boy about. She worked in a nursing home, and she was a nurse. And it appears that the son shot them both in their home. And as I scrolled down on the computer to see the story, I saw the face of the boy. He was their son. Looks like he's about 20, 21 years old, something like that. And it was just sad to see that the rest of his life, he's going to spend in jail. He killed his parents. I was speaking with another 21-year-old 22-year-old. As a matter of fact, he's 22 years old. And he told me that his mother and father put him out the house when he was 17 years old. Boy got a nice heart, a very nice disposition. And parents throwing their children out, especially during these difficult times, these kids don't have anywhere to go. I know, you know, your kids get grown and you feel like saying, get out and get a job. Get out and go to school. Get out and do something. They can't survive. Listen to me. I'm preaching to you this morning. They cannot survive. The system is stacked against them. There's too much against them. They can't survive. And especially if God is not on their side. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21 says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. You see what I mean? What is God's purpose? I was speaking with someone on the other side of the world, and he said, I sure do wish that I could come and live there in America. And I said, no, you don't. I said, the black community that you think is here in America is no longer here. I'm telling you, things are not going to go back to normal. This is the new normal. I haven't watched World News Tonight in a couple of days because since they have the vaccine out and these people are supposed to be taking it, people are going to line up. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to continue to trust in the Lord and build my refuge around him. Listen to what it says in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 32. It says, though he brings grief, listen to this, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. Now, who is the he in the text? The he in the text is God. Though he brings grief. You know what? When I die, my children are not going to be crying their eyes out and all that stuff. There's going to be joy, happiness. I'm telling you, a couple of weeks ago, a preacher friend of mine, he called and asked me, I told you about it. He called and asked me how I was doing. I said, man, I wish I was dead. I'm hurting so bad and everything. He called my daughters and told them what I said. I told my daughters, I'll let you know when I'm dying. I said, but I'll never tell this preacher. When he asked me, oh, doc, how are you feeling? I said, that's none of your damn business. Don't ever call my family and try to tell them anything about me. John Coleman is not afraid of dying. I don't know how I'm going to die. I look at this article, and I can't imagine this boy killing his mom and dad. I cannot imagine that. But what did they say? What did they do to push this boy to that? Oh, I'm telling you, friends, I still believe in the God that saved my soul. And I believe that this same God can save our entire nation, that this same God can save the black community. It's not about going to church and getting your hallelujah shout on, jumping up and down and carrying on like that. It is about loving God from the depths of your heart and allowing God to do something in your life. Look at Psalms chapter 37, verse 3. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. That's how come I'm not afraid of dying or getting COVID or getting the flu. Because if God has some work for me to do, I'm going to get it done. If God wants me to do a good deed for somebody, spend my money, the little money that I have left to do it, I'm going to continue to live the way that I've been living since my dear sweet wife passed away. I'm going to help people. I'm going to help make another person's life beautiful. I'm going to give them a chance to shine in this world. What are you doing? Man, all these people talking about Christianity. Stop lying to me about your jive-ass religion. I'm tired of you quoting the scripture and not doing anything. Our nation is falling apart. You clowns that call yourselves preachers, you get behind the pulpit and you're not laying down the law straight. None of you will see the face of God with a smile on your face if you do not jump in this fight and fight the good fight of faith. Psalms 37, verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. What are the desires of your heart? What is it that you want? What is it that you trust in? You want God to open your restaurant back up? You want him to open your gym back up? Your nail shop back up? You want him to open up the chicken smacking, finger licking, what all that stuff? You want him to open it back up so you can have people coming in there eating, putting that grease and that poison in their stomach, killing them? Why do you think so many people in our community are dying en masse? What are you eating? What are you feeding your children? My goodness, a young man was in the car and he said, pull over here. I want to get me something to eat. He said, can I get you anything? I said, yeah, a cup of coffee. He pulled up in McDonald's. I listened to what he was ordering. I said to myself, Lord, have mercy. I wouldn't put that junk in me. People, listen to me. Listen to trust in the Lord. I ate some vegetables from my garden yesterday. I went out and picked them myself. I remember when I planted the garden, right about the time when COVID was just getting started, I said, I better plant me some food because I know what's happening here. I can't eat this stuff they got in these stores, force feeding that food, force feeding this food, and you're eating the stuff. That stuff isn't good for you. No, it isn't. Look at Psalms chapter 37. Verses 5 and 6, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. Whatever the this is, he'll do it. He will do it. I'm not going to do it. He's going to do it. I was telling a man, I said, I want you to do your work on your end. Do your work on your end, and I'll do my work on my end. I said, but if you don't do your work on your end, and I do my work on my end, that's on you. That's not on me. I said, because you're going to be a man. What we have to do is we have to take our babies and we have to train them. We have to retrain. You don't have children just to give them a birthday party every year. You don't have children, and so you can just carry them around and treat them like empty baggage. In that movie, The Black Bottom, in the scene, and I'm not going to give it away. I'm just sharing with you a little bit. In the scene that Chadwick Boseman played, the trumpeter was pushed over the edge because of white racism. Somebody had stole something from him. The white man had stole something from him and tricked him like they've always been tricking a lot of Negroes when you get into business with them, you know. And Chadwick's role was interesting because the white man had, well, I don't want to spoil the movie if you didn't see it, but see the movie and you see what drove him to the crises. But you know what, man, I'm going to tell you something. Since God filled my heart, I got to just say this, man. Since God filled my heart, since the first day I come in contact with knowing the one monotheistic God, I never wanted to kill nobody. I never wanted to hurt nobody. I never wanted to see somebody hungry. I mean, what happened to us? What happened to our community? We don't have any leaders because none of our leaders follows God. You see what I mean? And when you have a leader that doesn't follow God, that just follows politics, they look like these stupid-ass politic Democrats and selfish-ass Republicans. I'm neither party. I don't go either way. I was looking at some clips on the internet from this Candace lady, Candace Owens, looks like every black person in America is turned against this girl. This girl, why can't this girl speak her mind, speak her own peace? Why can't she? Listen, I'm going to say something else, because many of you black folk that listen to me are completely out of your mind. If you didn't know that the Democratic Party is nothing but a bunch of leftist commies in a red, white, and blue drag, then you're out of your mind. You better look at the political backdrop of who's pushing these people and what they're pushing on people. I've never been a socialist. I've never been for socialism. Man, and I know wars have started in Europe, all over the world. Why you think Mao did China the way he did it? He knew that if he didn't do that, that they'd have a democracy set up over there and they'd be looking like us. I like the example of Hong Kong. Hong Kong belongs to the mainland. What happened to all the protesters that was out in the street protesting Hong Kong? They're in jail. See, we have lost the sense of how to do civility. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm speaking as a preacher. I'm speaking as a preacher to you, and I want you to listen. If you never listen to any, you know, I may be doing my Sunday sermons like this. You know, how's John going to preach this morning? Because if I was a preacher behind the pulpit, this would be my sermon. I choose one of these scriptures on trusting in the Lord. Let me find one right here. Here's one, Psalm 42:5. Okay, here it is. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Now that would be my text, Psalm 42:5. And I would say, why are you people so cast down in this room? Why are you upset because you ain't got no money to pay in that stupid car note? You didn't need that second car in the first place. Give it up. Why are you spending all the money that you don't have on a Christmas that don't mean nothing? Why are you still teaching your children in Saint Nick and all this bull crap and not living your life like you got a brain? Why won't you love your children? Love your sons? I know they don't look right. They look raggedy, all messed up. Why? You know when you made that boy, when you was making love to each other. Why that boy grow up and become 20-something and have to put a bullet in both of you? What brought that about? I never did anything when I raised my children to make them come back at me and want to shoot me in the head or in my chest with a gun. You know, some of the people told me over the years, you better watch out, John, how you helping these young black men, because if they're mentally disturbed and you mess with them, they will kill you. Let me tell you something. They can kill me if they want to. I will love them the way God ordered me to. God didn't tell me to love them on a condition of that they love me. God didn't tell me to treat them right only if they treated me right. My play son Mario is in Papua New Guinea, doing his life work. God bless his heart. He told me a while back, he said, I won't be talking with you, old man, for 3 months. I'm going so deep in the bush, there is no signal to reach me. I pray for that boy every day. Do you pray for him? Those of you that know him, do you pray for him? No, hell no, you don't pray for him. You're too busy just caring about your own. I remember when I took that young man in my home when he was 20 years old. Oh, John, you a fool. You don't know what you're doing. Why are you helping him? Mm-hmm. I'm going to share something with you. I don't have any water here. I'm okay. I'm going to share something with you. I am a person that have only listened to God since I've been united with God in 1967. I only listen to God. I never listened to my daddy. I didn't listen to my grandparents. I don't listen to my friends. I didn't listen to my wife when I was married to her. God rest her soul, Lucy. I know you hear me right now, girl. And Lucy knows that I loved her, but I didn't listen to her. I listened to God. And God put love in my heart. And when I talk to people and I look at people, I love people when they become transparent with me and don't give me a line. I don't know why this young man in Virginia shot his mama and daddy. Well, they say that he's a suspect. I'll be following this story to see what happened to it further down the line. I'd just like to know what was going on in the house when he killed him. Our community is in terrible shape. Now, in Los Angeles, everybody's supposed to be staying in, right? Well, I'm blessed because, see, I'm in my home alone right now. I'm in the Lucy Coleman studio alone right now. There's no one else in here with me, and I can do this webcast, get up, give me something to eat, go out in the backyard, pull weeds, sweep the dust off the front porch, wash a load of clothes, throw out some fake meat for dinner tonight. I can do all of that because I'm here alone. In Los Angeles, the city that I live, there are myriads of people living with each other, up on top of each other, don't have room to turn over to breathe. If they third world people coming from other countries, they're living like that in silence because they can't let the authorities know how many of them are there and how they got there. And this disease is making them sick because they can't keep the thing clear. There's going to be more poor people dying. Around Christmas time, and 5 days from the time that I'm making this point, these families are going to be there. They're going to try to meet, party, and share. People have been calling me saying, hey, PJ, what are you going to do for Christmas? Nothing. Oh, your daughter's coming by bringing you food? No, I told her not to. What you coming by here for? I don't need you to bring me food. If you want to send me some food, send me some healthy food, go ahead. Get on Amazon, get on Prime or whatever. Send me some food, but don't bring your behind by my house. Keep those grandkids away from me, cousins, uncles, aunties, everybody. I'm going to tell everybody that know me, the people that's been coming by to see me, like the young man that was by here last night, he ain't sick. He knows my drill. If you want to come by and help cook something for me to eat, come on by. But all this other stuff, I don't know the people you've been around. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know whether you're sick. I don't know whether you're a carrier. But I know one thing. I trust in God. I trust in God. Why am I downcast, oh, my soul? Why am I so disturbed within me? You know what? I'll tell you why you're disturbed like that. The psalmist puts it good. He says, put your hope in God. You're trying to put your hope in this damnable stimulus check. Oh, is Trump going to send a check before he get out? How dare you? I don't need no government money. I don't need a government stipend. If I didn't have no money coming in here, you think I'm going to die of starvation if I haven't completed what God wanted me to do? Do you think that God would have my life in if I have not substantiated his godliness? Man, I'm telling you, can you look in the face of someone and know that the someone needs help? I'm looking at this boy's mugshot, the one that killed his parents. I'm looking at his mugshot that they put up, and all I see in this boy's face is, help me. Help me. He didn't mean to do that. That boy ain't got no people. All right, let me calm down. Let me do this. I used to do this when I preach too, because the Spirit is talking to my soul. I could have played music this Sunday morning, and I didn't want no music. Listen, people. And I'm not going to use those Christian terms like you need to repent, you need to fight them demons, and all that kind of nonsense. I'm not going to do that. God has given us a tremendous responsibility. We are human beings. We are the highest of his creation. We can think things through to the end. We don't have to be in jeopardy, wondering why we are in the state of mind that we are in. I have read in Psalms 46 that God is my refuge and he is my strength. And I also read in Psalms 139, 1 through 11, I won't read it all for you. You read it on your own. That God knows each of us intimately. And he is always leading us as a people. Always. I was speaking with a young man and he was telling me, he says, you know, I have friends. And when I speak to certain of my friends, some of them ask me questions. And the questions annoy me because the person really doesn't want to get to know me. The person wants to exploit me. And I told the young man, yes, you must be very careful of people that will exploit you for their own pleasure. This, did you know that some parents do that? They exploit their children. Let me tell you how they do that. I remember when Lucy and I start to have children, and I married a Filipino lady, an Asian lady, and I'm a black man. Our children were very attractive children. And someone contacted me and said, oh, man, you should put that child in acting school or something like that. And so I said, no, I'm not going to put that child in acting school, nor are we going to let her go to Hollywood and take shots. But your children are beautiful. You and Lucy, you can make money up there. That's exploiting your children. God didn't tell me to exploit my children. You know, Whitney Houston, right? You know who her mother is? Her mother was a famous gospel singer. You know who her auntie was? Dionne Warwick. All right, Whitney got exploited. Whitney exploited her daughter. The daughter is dead like the mama in a bathtub full of war. Exploitation kills you. You need to come back to a sense of family. I know I'm talking old-fashioned stuff, but that's what you need the preacher, the seer, the sage to do. A true pastor going to tell you the truth. Everybody's saying, oh, look how much money Drake got. Let me tell you something, man. You know what? I don't know where the spirit of Chadwick Boseman is right now. I don't know where his spirit is right now. But if there is a God, and I believe that there is, and if he is, and I'm saying this because when God created me, like he created you, he created us with the ability to rationalize people. To rationalize. You have to rationalize this. If you disobey and disrespect the God of this universe, he will turn his back on you. I don't know how it's done in the heavenlies. I don't know how it's done in the afterlife. I have a little peekaboo in the Bible when I read it, when it talks about if you laugh at God when in heaven, he's going to laugh at me. That's what the Bible says. I thought about that when I was watching that in the Netflix movie, The Black Bottom. I said, oh my God, this is mocking God. That is forcing God. And me and the young man that was watching it, we both attended church. We go to different denominational churches. But we fall under the line of Christian, even though we don't go to church anymore. We both froze. We're different ages. We're both black. We pause the movie and we say, oh, my God, that man. And he said, John, I didn't know that movie was going to be like that. I said, I didn't either. Why did they put that in there? Why did Chadwick do that? See, man, Hollywood wants you to pay a price. What they've been trying to do is they've been trying to put dresses on all the black men to make a black man look like a woman. I even tell some of the gay black men that I know that are very effeminate, I said, hey, man, I ain't trying to tell you who to love, but darn it, you a dude. You are a man. You're not a woman. Stop acting like one. You're not a woman. That is perversion. You're not a woman. You're a man. You tell people that and they say, oh man, I'm gay. I didn't say nothing about you being gay. I said, what are you doing with that dress on? You are defaming what God made you. You're not a woman. They got one black guy. I don't know his name. I don't want to know his name. He's gay. I'm guessing. and he got a little money, and he lives in Southern California, and he's always coming on talking about how he bought this and did that and brought his nephew over there to live with him and all this. Don't nobody want to hear about that mess from that fool, and he sounds just like a crazy woman. Now, in America, you're free to do that. Go ahead and do that. But that embarrasses me. And I'm a man that don't mind hanging around gay people. I don't mind that. But you're not a woman. You can be that around your friend or around your family. But around me, don't do it because it turns me off. That is why a lot of these people are getting their faces bashed in, because they're putting that mess out there in other people's face. And you can't do that. My goodness, I want you to pay attention to the preacher. Pay attention to the preacher. See, this is the preacher talking. This isn't John Coleman talking, trying to make you feel good, trying to make your day better. No, no, no. This is the preacher talking to you. Psalms chapter 73, verses 23 and 24 says, I am always with you. This is God talking. I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterwards, you will take me into glory. Now, here's a person talking about trusting in God. He says, I'm always with you. In other words, says, God, I'm with you. I'm always with you. Yeah. I was speaking with a gay man the other night, and I said, you know, brother, I really love you. And he says, I love you too, John. You've been a great help to me. You talk to me and you explain things to me. He says, I'm a young man and nobody explains things to me. This young man's heart is pure. This young man has never smoked marijuana, has never gulped down wine, has not taken any kind of narcotics, in his 20s and a virgin. And I said, boy, you remind me of me when I was a young man. Because I remember when I was a young man at 21, 22 years old, and I was a virgin. Same age this young man is. And I said, you so remind me. No, he don't come from America. He's from a foreign country. Way far off. Because you're not going to find no 22-year-old virgins here unless they raised in a monastery somewhere. But then you got to watch that, because God only knows what the priest's going to do to them. Because that's what America is all about. Pollution and distress. And I believe in kind of a weird way that that is what God is doing, is that he is judging our country because we could have had it better than this. We're so free now. We don't have to obey the law and do anything. We're so free now. We've handicapped the police departments in most of our major cities in this country because we let leftists run the government, and you'd rather a cop talk with a psychologist than use his head to know you can't go in that community unless you're armed and ready. There's certain communities that you can go into. The population don't care nothing about no police. And you know what? I'm going to tell you the truth. You may not want to hear this. And you may break in my house and try to kill me from what I'm saying. But this is the preacher talking. George Floyd had a criminal record. Some of these boys that got shot and choked and beat down were some bad players out there in the street. And some of these women, oh, my God, please don't play with me. I know what kind of a world I live in. I know who lives in the projects. I grew up in the projects. The Will Rogers Project in Los Angeles is where I grew up. Me and my brothers and sisters heard people fighting, saw the police coming around some of them quants and huts where they found a dead body in the middle of the night. I grew up in the projects. Don't talk to me about what's in the projects. Don't talk to me about the ghetto. Then you're talking about they trying to kill us. Oh, hey, you better be armed and loaded when you go in some of these places. And you all know what I'm talking about. I don't go to bed at night in my home. That's my pistol is right within arm's reach of where I am. I'm living in that kind of a world. And thank God I'm living in the country where I can have a registered firearm to protect myself. I'm not trying to kill nobody. Yeah, this is the Sunday sermon. America has lost its mind. When our poor, depraved children kill their own parents. I couldn't think about killing my mom and daddy. You hear me? Kill my mama. What? We've lost our minds in this country. I couldn't think about just going up to somebody, just shooting them. I'm not a terrorist. The greatest thing that God has given us is life. And we're walking around here, man, listen, we need to call upon the Lord in the day of trouble. Psalms 50, verse 15 says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I'll deliver you, and you will honor me. See, God said, call on me. Stop looking to Washington. Stop looking to Trump. Yes, Trump did more for the black man in this country than Obama ever did in his 8 years in office. And you know it's true. I'm going to pass this call up because I know who it is. I know who it is. I think I'll let him know that I'm doing a webcast right now. And hello, my friend. If you can hear me, I am in the middle of a webcast. I'll call you back, all right? All right, I'll call you back because I'm in the middle of a webcast. God bless you, son.
Okay.
All right. Well, just say hello to me. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. How about you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm doing a webcast, my Sunday morning webcast. I'm preaching to the congregation. So I'll talk to you after I finish this. Okay. Bye-bye. Now, see, that's another young man that I'm talking to that's calling for counsel. See what I mean? Calling for counsel. How do you do this? How do you do that? How do you do this? How do you do that? I'm not a 76-year-old man sitting on my ass over here looking at them. Oh, child, it sure is a terrible place to live out there. I'm not somebody just trying to say, okay, come on, grandson, here's some money. Let's go and get this. Let's do that. No. I have people calling this elderly sage and trying to get some wisdom. Now, let me go back to that verse. You need to call upon him in the day of trouble. Hey, you know some people in your family that got the coronavirus? Do you know some? Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. You need to call upon the Lord in the time of trouble. And he said, I'll deliver you. Now, how is he going to deliver you? I'm just going to tell you the truth. He delivers you through death. Oh, no, I don't like that. I want him to get Grandma out of the hospital. Nope, 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 nope. If Grandma has medical problems and she has things that help that virus grow, that virus is going to eat her up and kill her, just like the flu would, just like pneumonia would. I thought I had pneumonia or something around here. I know what I did. I stopped eating food that clogged up my system. I ate a half a plate of something one night, and it wouldn't go down in my stomach. I didn't know what it was. I said, you know what? I didn't take no kale pectate or milk of magnesia. I didn't take any of that. I said, I'm going to study me. But I knew this, that the Lord, I can call upon the Lord in the day of trouble, and he will deliver me if I honor him. And that's what I did, and I took care of myself, and I'm here. And if I do, and I'm going to say this now on this webcast, if I do get the coronavirus, I will let you know on a webcast. If I just come on and say, I got the virus, they take me to the hospital, If my website is down within a month or so, I'm dead. I tell you. And I tell you in that tone of voice because I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Listen, we all need to find a refuge in God. In Psalm 57, verse 1, it's a beautiful verse. It really speaks volumes. It says, "Have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy on me. For in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed." We are living in the time of disaster, this coronavirus. What are those guys preaching to you when they're on their Zoom sermons? What are they doing? What are they saying? Are they bringing the conviction of the living Lord on people, or are they trying to be pretty? Are they trying to be fanciful? Oh, my God. Listen to this. God's servant Joshua is given a different task. The Lord counsels him to be strong and to be courageous. When you look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, "Have I not commanded you?" Listen to what the Lord is speaking to Joshua. He said, "Didn't I tell you what to do? Did not I give you instruction?" Now, they tell me that Chadwick Boseman was born and raised in a Baptist church, had a Baptist background and everything like that. But he was pretty strong. He knew he was dying. He knew he was dying. He went to do all the movies and everything. But somebody should have told him, "Don't blaspheme, boy. I know you're trying to make money for your family before you die, but don't blaspheme. Accept certain roles and reject other ones." Look what God says. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and be courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." God is with me, John Coleman. You see, I never have been concerned about what other people say about me because they don't know me. They can't know me. They never would know me. They don't know how to know me. If you want to know me, you have to come by my house to get to know me, and I will love you. I will love you where you stand, but I will also tell you where you are completely out of your ever-loving mind. Oh, my friend, look at the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. I'm just looking at these verses, and I'm saying, what are they preaching in these Zoom churches? Zoom? Oh, my goodness. Look what it says. "I will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you." Are you going crazy? I have a friend of mine who recently lost his mother in death. She's 84 years old. I did not go to the funeral or attend the services because we under COVID. My friend said, "Oh, John, I thought that you were going to support you." I said, "Support you how? I can't support you. I can't do nothing for you." God said he'll keep you in perfect peace if your mind is steadfast on him, because you trust in him and he loves you. And if you trust in the Lord forever, because the Lord is your rock eternal. So what you want me to do? I couldn't keep your mama here. I can't grieve for you because I didn't know her the way you know her. When my sweet wife died, I grieved. Oh, yeah, I grieved. A lot of people didn't think I really loved her because I didn't grieve the way they were. I didn't try to tear the coffin over and have people carry me out to mortuary and everything. I did her eulogy. And I named it, "My wife left me for another man." That's what I call the eulogy of my deceased wife. Because she knows that I'm just that kind of man. I said, "Baby, which one of us goes first? Our going away ceremony is going to be a joyous occasion." She wasn't afraid to die, nor am I afraid to die. She left me for another man. That's metaphorically speaking. She left me because she had to be in a transferal situation with God. That's the point. Oh, well, thank you for coming by my church today. I thought that I'd share that with you. Please look up this story. It's on, what news was that? Yeah, that in People Magazine. And everybody said that they loved the lady. She worked in the nurse home. She was a nurse. She was so happy. She'd make everyone smile. And I mean, she looked so happy with her husband. Looked just like the boy. I just don't know what could have been going on in that house. Well, since we're in church, I think it's only nice for us to end up with the church song, right? I mean, I think that would be nice. Let me see if I could. What?
Your loving kindness towards me.
Okay.
Your tender mercies I see.
Donnie McCurley.
Day after day. Forever faithful towards me. You're always providing for me. Great is your mercy.
That's right.
Towards me.
Sing it, Donnie.
Great is your grace. Help me say, help me say. Great is your mercy towards me. It's your loving kindness towards me. Your tender.
I'm glad that God woke me up this morning and put himself on my mind. And I trust that you will attempt to come in contact with this Spirit of God that can be your help during a time of trouble. Stay home. You got 5 days before Christmas. Stay home. Make yourself a little Christmas dinner if you want to. Celebrate with your family and worship God. Sing it, girl. See, you ain't got no business cussing God, not even in no movie script. You can't do that because you end up like this boy, killing his mama and daddy. That's evil. That's wickedness. And we need to address that in our lives. God bless you. You know the drill. Stay in the Word of God for real.